The outgoing Trump administration embraces lobbying. I'm David Brancaccio. Well, it's often been remarked that presidents evolve over 4 years. Within days of taking office 4 years ago, President Trump signed a five-year lobbying ban for members of his administration. But last night, with hours left, Trump rescinded his ban on lobbying. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us. What is the reason given?
Well, so far, David, there isn't one. The White House simply put out the new order revoking Trump's previous one and did so without explanation. Now, that original order was seen as part of Trump's campaign pledge to drain the swamp. Remember that catchphrase? It was about the revolving door in Washington, government appointees going on to be lobbyists and vice versa. Now, Trump's original order had required his administration appointees to sign a pledge that if they leave public service, they won't lobby any agency where they served for 5 years. There are some other provisions, but that was the headline one. And it got some praise at the time. Now, revoking that order means people who worked in the Trump administration will have more options for jobs.
So the revolving door spins more quickly, sometimes more slowly. Do we know what incoming President Biden might intend to do here?
Well, for that, we look at President Obama's administration, actually. He set lobbying limits. He had a two-year lobbying ban, among other things. Biden is expected to restore Obama-era rules, and then some. The length of time could be longer for some appointees, and we're likely to see even tougher rules for senior officials in Biden's White House.
Nova, thank you. One of incoming President Joe Biden's campaign promises was that he would tackle companies seen as abusing their clout, including big technology companies. Reuters is reporting the new administration is thinking about creating an antitrust czar. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst has that.
In recent years, the Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission have sued Google and Facebook, respectively. Amazon and Apple remain under investigation. The question is, are they breaking antitrust law to crush their competitors? The appointment of an antitrust czar would be yet another indication of Biden's harder stance on regulating big business. The incoming administration has already nominated more aggressive heads to the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Calls to rein in Silicon Valley's power have intensified following the recent attack on the Capitol and the accusation that tech companies like Facebook provided a platform for some users to call for violence. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Some themes among market participants this morning. The nominee for Biden's U.S. Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, yesterday calling for bold stimulus to counteract the COVID recession. And the big banks making money now that quarterly results are coming in is taken as a positive sign. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
We've heard from all the big banks now, and CEOs have come out and sounded hopeful about the economy going forward. They've also commented on credit and how credit is staying positive and solid. Remember that credit in 2008 was a big reason that the banks stumbled. So I think the market is also looking at that, saying that bodes for a quicker recovery.
Susan Schmidt at Aviva in Chicago. Job description, Dasher, Tasker, or Driver Partner. App-enabled companies have come up with all kinds of names for their workers. It's part of a tradition of using euphemisms, often for lower-wage workers. But for gig economy companies, the labels matter to their business models. KQED's Sam Harnett explains.
In 1975, Walmart CEO Sam Walton decided he was no longer going to have workers at his stores. He was going to have associates. And they're still called by this name today in company ads.
No matter the job, Walmart associates are there.
The idea of giving fancy titles to low-wage workers spread. Today, Subway employees are called sandwich artists. At Disney World, managers call everyone from the security guard to the person inside the Mickey Mouse costume a cast member.
At DisneyWorld.com.
We share a dream come true.
For good companies, worker names and titles help bolster the legal argument that they are contractors, not employees with benefits and protections. Caitlin Vega is a labor lawyer who works with unions. She says invented names are a way for companies to create distance from workers.
They're not our employees. They're doing a discrete task. You know, they're called taskers or juicers or, you know, some term that refers to the task that is not integral to our business model, of course.
Uber has used terms for workers that boost the idea that they are independent, calling drivers entrepreneurs or driver partners. The company uses that term in hiring documents. Companies like TaskRabbit put their made-up worker names in the introductory videos for people who want to work for the company.
Welcome to the Tasker app tutorial. This is where you will spend most of your time as a tasker.
California Supreme Court, Attorney General, and legislature agree there's one accurate term for gig workers: employees. But gig companies spent over $200 million on Proposition 22, which legalized a new sub-employee category for workers in California. And of course, gig companies invented a name for that: Independent Contractor Plus. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And in among the 70 Trump pardons from overnight, a former Google engineer who was a pioneer in self-driving car technology was set to do time for stealing trade secrets from Google. A judge had said Anthony Lewandowski was guilty of, quote, the biggest trade secret crime he'd ever seen. His pardon was supported by some top Trump backers from Silicon Valley, including Peter Thiel, the Palantir Technologies founder. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.